If you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe to catch all future episodes. Also, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/switchboxtv for video versions of this show, plus loads more videos covering sport, music, and lifestyle. That's youtube.com/switchboxtv. This episode was recorded back in April 2020.
Hey, mate, you all right?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. The volume's a bit low. Let me see if I can turn the volume up a bit. I'm not really computer savvy, really. It's my missus who...
I was about to say, why does that not surprise me?
Listen, if you want to phone somebody, you dial them back. If they want to phone you, you dial them and you pick up the phone and you answer it, don't you? It's as simple as it is, isn't it?
Hey, by the way, I'm liking those specs, by the way. They're a new addition.
I've always wore glasses, you know. I've always, since a kid, I've always wore glasses. So when I played, I wore contact lenses. But now I've got contact lenses and glasses on top of the contact lens.
It's called age, my friend.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Good to see you, Rob.
That's great. It's great to see you. Really great to see you. What a thrill. And tell me, how is Shanghai?
Yeah, we've been back now. We got back here 23rd of March. It's very stringent here. So when we landed, we got, you know, the plane, we had to sit on the plane, then we were taken to get tested, then we had to stay in a hotel overnight, then we had to stay in the house for 2 weeks. They put a device on the door that you can open it three times a day to collect food and put your rubbish out for 2 weeks. But then as soon as you've done your 2 weeks, that's it, you're free to go. Pubs, bars, restaurants, everything are open, gyms are open. Schools are now starting to reopen. Some of us, because we're an international school, we'll probably be the last to open because at the moment now, it's the foreigners who are coming back to Shanghai to work are bringing the virus back in. So we'll probably be the last to open, maybe mid-May or something like that.
Because I did some reading this morning on it, because obviously over here, I mean, I know you were back in England, but everybody goes, oh, China, we don't want to go to China. But Shanghai have been absolutely on it like a car bonnet, haven't they, from the off?
Listen, it's the safest place to be, mate. I'm telling you. I mean, the UK, and we were saying, Lucy and I were back in the UK, because when it broke, we were on our Chinese New Year holiday. We were in the Maldives when it broke. And we got, Lucy got wind of it, because when I'm on holiday, you know me, I'm not on my phone or emails and all that rubbish, you know, I'm at the bar. So Lucy's got wind of it, and she said, right, listen, Carlton, there's a problem, so let's go back to the UK. So we flew back to Shanghai, we landed on the 28th of January, we literally landed at 11 o'clock, we got tested, when temperature and everything, stringent coming in, went to the apartment, grabbed stuff, and then left first thing in the morning. We landed, so a plane coming in from Shanghai, no testing for anybody. Even before we came back, we went to Portugal, and we landed back the 17th of March, no testing. You can't get into Shanghai without testing and whatever and doing the 2 weeks quarantine. Seeing people in out and about is crazy because they're endangering other people's lives. You know, when we left, it was Thursday and my dad's birthday, And we didn't go and see them because it's just not worth it.
What about Shanghai in terms of a lockdown with bars, restaurants, everything? That's it, shut.
As soon as it broke here, everything was shut immediately. Schools, bars, restaurants, businesses, everything shut completely. Shut, and everybody had to do the isolation. And in every compound, there's police. So if you're just not allowed out, and because they've done the stringent testing, they've been managed to get it under control. The people now who are bringing it back into Shanghai, now the other night, there was a plane came in from Russia because you can still come in if you're a Chinese citizen, although they've closed the border. So this plane had come in from Russia, but a lot of these people coming back would come from Italy, places that have got high dosage of people who've got it. But as soon as they've landed, they've put them straight in. If you don't pass the test, right, they put you into quarantine in a hotel, in a compound or whatever. So they have been put away now for 2 weeks until they're in a position where you know, they're clear.
Yeah. Listen, okay. Let's talk about Shanghai and your life in general. We met, obviously, well, we met years ago, but we were together in Dubai when you were coaching at a school and you had your own academy. Is it the same kind of, is that why you went to Shanghai in the first place?
Yeah, well, you know, like when I was in Dubai, I loved it. And my sister was over there. It was easy to commute to the UK, so it was perfect for me. But as you know, Rob, we lost the rights to the TV, but I was still working in an international school doing the soccer academy. Yeah. So the master at the time there, David Cook, said to me, listen, we're going to open a school in Shanghai. Would you be interested? And I thought, China? I don't think so. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and so I said to Luce, I said, what, because Luce wasn't with me in Dubai because she was back at home with the kids and I was traveling backwards and forwards. So I said to her, what do you think, love? Because I said, I'm not doing any more time without you. What do you think? So she said, well, I'll come out and have a look. So we came out for a week, met Joy Chow, who's the owner of our company, which is, we're affiliated. So Wellington UK, this is a school affiliated with Wellington UK.
Yeah.
So Joy Chow was the first Chinese woman to graduate from Oxford. So she met us out here with the principal, and we were there for a week, and we both said, well, we like Shanghai. I mean, like if you go downtown on the Bund, it's like London or New York. It's phenomenal, all the lights and everything's going off. So we said we'd give it a go. 6 years later, we're still here with another 2.5 years left on our contract. I love it here. The people, I love the way the people are out here, Rob. The Chinese people, they do. We go to a fancy dress party and go on the tube. Nobody looks at you. They're not bothered. They're just not bothered. And they're very loyal people. So if you work hard, they look after you, acknowledge the fact that you work hard. You know, they don't have a time or, you know, to say, right, okay, your job's from this time to that time. You just do your job. That's the way they are. That's why they, you know, they are one of the leading powers. And trust me, in the next 10 years, they will be the biggest power in the world, without a shadow of a doubt.
Listen, tell me about the football, because you've gone at a time when football has boomed, really, haven't you? I mean, what is it like for you at a weekend? Do you get the Premier League and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we get it all. I mean, we get it all. Unfortunately, because of the time difference,
sure,
which is not a problem for me, because I don't mind drinking late into the night, as you know. But you know, we get all the Premier League, we get all the football. So it's blinding, and we get, you know, I go from here to Kuala Lumpur. The college are brilliant with me, and I go down and work for Astro Sports every now and again, and do a bit of the commentary on live games. So yeah, still stay in touch with the football.
What's the standard like in your at the local level? I mean, the money they spent originally getting some of the stars over was massive. There's so many, you know, Premier League, ex-Premier League stars and world stars over there still. What's the standard like? And do you ever go to the games?
Yeah, I've been to the games, because what we do is at our school, all the players, they've done a deal. So all the players, their kids come to our school. So it's brilliant for our kids, you know, when Oscar's walking in with his daughter and his son, and Ulk's walking in with his two boys. It's brilliant for the kids, do you know what I mean? But the standard's poor, without a shadow of a doubt. The standard's poor. And what the Chinese have done, fair play to them. Early on, they recognised that it wasn't going to work just throwing money at it.
Yeah.
You know, bringing in Oscar on 600 grand a week and Alkin and 400 grand a week. So they salary capped it. And what they've done now to, because you've got to remember now, it was only compulsory to play football in schools 2 years ago.
All right.
It was never compulsory. It's always been the education that comes first. So what they've done now is they've salary capped it now. And they've also made that one under 21 or under 23 Chinese player has to play. And you've got seven Chinese players playing on the day. So it is going to increase. And they're getting the best coaches from Europe, like, you know, Benitez is here and people like that. So quickly, because they're putting a structure in place rather than, you know, at first we'll get all these people. It's going to take time. So now they've got an infrastructure in place. Yeah, so without a shadow of a doubt, in years to come, there will be a force for sure.
Well, who are the big teams? I mean, I know in Dubai there was a bit of glory hunting going on. There was all Barcelona, Real Madrid. There weren't too many Sheffield Wednesdays or Wigan Athletics or whatever. Who are the big teams over there that the kids follow?
Oh, well, always the same, isn't it, over here?
Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, funny enough, Rob, when Sheffield Wednesday were in the playoff final, I went to the pub and there was a load of Sheffield Wednesday supporters in there with their blue and white kit on.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, to be honest with you, it's a massive expat community out here. Because, Rob, if you... Listen, no disrespect to the UK. I love the UK, but I've been outside the UK now for over 11 years. Why did I leave the UK? Because I wasn't getting the opportunities that I wanted, that I deserved. So if you're brave enough, if you can put yourself out of the box, like my missus is a teacher back in the UK, right? She's been here 6 years now. She is now head of Wellington pre-prep years 3, 4 and 5 of lower prep, right? Of 3, 4 and 5 on 4 times the salary.
Yeah.
So you look at that in the UK where we don't reward people like our teachers or our nurses or our doctors. They do the jobs that they do. They do a fantastic job, but yet they're still not rewarded numerically. So if you're brave enough to go abroad and you've got kids, your kids get to go to the private school for free with some of the best teachers in the world, right? So they get a great education. So it's just being brave enough, because the world's a small place now. You know, we get good holidays, and you say it's 11 hour, 40 minutes, but you know that, Rob, when you're in first class, you get a few beers down your arm quickly, aren't you?
Where do you go on holiday? What's your local holiday? I mean, I'm sort of nipping over to France now I'm back in England. Well, not at the moment, but where do you go? Where's your little casual jaunts for holidays out that way?
Well, our favourite is September. The middle of September, we go to Bali. Love Bali. 4 hours flight for us from here. Hong Kong's 2 hours. If you fancy a weekend in Hong Kong, you know, if Lucy's birthday or whatever, we've been there for a weekend. But we love Bali. 4 hours. We love going to Boracay. Thailand's only 4 hours away. So there's great places. I mean, the Maldives, we go every February. We really love that. But that's the same flight as it would be from the UK. But, you know, but there's loads of places that you can get to. Vietnam, Cambodia, all within easy travelling distance, 3 or 4 hours, you know. But our favourite, I would say, is Bali in September. We love Bali. Beautiful part of the world.
Do you think you will, when your contract finishes, will you live abroad or will you come back to the UK?
Well, the plan is now, we've had a place in Portugal for 30 years now. So we love Portugal. So the plan is we would live 6 months in Portugal and 6 months in the UK. We love the UK. You know, when you come back to the UK and the weather's good, right?
Yeah.
There is no better place. Where we live in Sheffield, 20 minutes drive. It's beautiful where we are, Derbyshire and all around there. You know, my wife, all her family's in Sheffield. So yeah, the plan is, you know, we will return to the UK, but and spend 6 months in Portugal. But I mean, my case is that I love the sun, me, Rob, and the warm weather is, you know, what attracted me to Dubai, what attracted me to Shanghai, you know, and that's what we like, getting up and being able to run and cycle and do all those things. But yeah, we're still, our kids are in, we have 4 children. So our kids are in the UK. We have 2 grandkids now. So when we've retired, we can enjoy it a little bit.
Yeah. Listen, let me ask you a couple of football ones. Who was, what was your best spell of your career? The one you enjoyed the most club-wise?
Sheffield Wednesday. Best time of my life. You know, when I went there, I was a young kid. And there was a lot of young kids who were signed at the time, Ersty being me big mucker at the time. And so we had a great time playing football and off the field. We caused complete carnage. Yeah? It was brilliant.
So did you play? I was reading today. It would have suited you if you had sort of John Sheridan and Chris Waddle. But you did all the work, you see. That was it, wasn't it? Those two fly-by-nights.
No, but that's a fallacy. And I were talking about this the other day. That is a fallacy. You cannot play in a top side and carry anybody. You cannot. And this is what I was on about the other day when they're talking about Jack Grealish being the next Beckham or being the next whatever. He's got to change. He's good on the ball. There's no doubt about it. I've followed Jack Grealish since he was a kid when he made his debut for the youngsters for Villa in Hong Kong. Hugely talented. But there's more to the game than that. You watch Chris Waddle play. He tracks back John Sheridan. When we played John Sheridan, this is where people had the myth. I always used to take their player that sat. So if we were playing Man United, Chez would take the runner because he would play deep. I would then go on to their player who couldn't run, whether it was Scholesy or whatever. So you can't play in a modern game without these players in the top side that's going to win trophies with passengers. And for me, Grealish, why do you think they play him on the left-hand side? Why? I did the game against Leicester when they played when Aston Villa played Leicester at Villa Park, and all they did is they dug up on him, and he didn't track back. He looked at the fullback. He wasn't going to go. You need more than just he is a talent and an enigma who may score 12 or 14 goals. But if you're going to be that type of player, you've got to deliver more than that. You've got to be a Matt Letizia. You've got to be delivering 25 goals a season and have the ability that he has to change a game on a head. So when you talk about the likes of Waddle and Sheridan, you're talking about players on a different level, on a different level. So I didn't do their work for them. They did their share of graft that they had to do.
What would you prefer? Would you prefer playing in midfield, or would you prefer playing centre-half, or maybe in a three at the back, if you had a choice?
Well, to be honest with you, Rob, my natural position is centre-back. That is my natural position. Big Ron moved me into midfield because he said I had too much energy, right? Out of choice, I would prefer to play at centre-back, and that's why I went to Leeds United.
In a two or a three,
it didn't matter to me. I played in a three for England. It didn't matter to me. And I went to Leeds. I played well at centre-back, but I didn't get capped again. But that's more to do with the politics of the sport that was changing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Terry Venables took over. It's then the London mafia and the press and whatever. I can still argue, right? When I look at it, Gary Pallister was playing for Man United at the time, and he's a big mate of mine. And I think Gary Pallister was a terrific footballer and a terrific. And only got 6 caps, and I got 18. So there's no rhyme or reason. Maybe. You know, he would argue. But at the time, having said that, the two centre-backs playing for England at the time were Des Walker and Tony Adams. So you've got two really top-notch players to have to displace, haven't you?
Now, listen, let me ask you this. You were ill, weren't you? You had a big scare when you were playing in the Masters football, which ended up you had heart surgery and what have you, which is, a couple of years ago now. How are you, basically? And can you run and all that kind of thing still?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a massive scare. It really was. To be fair to you, Rob, and I have to put my hand up, and this is what I've been doing when I speak to people. As blokes, we give you all that macho thing, don't we? Oh, we're all right. It's nothing wrong. See, if you've got a problem, get it checked out. My mother was on holiday with me in Portugal. How many years ago? She said there was something wrong with my breathing. Lucy had said to me time and time there was something wrong with my breathing. Oh, don't worry about it. It'll be fine. She didn't want me to go and play in the game. It was lucky I went and played in the game. Had that happened to me anywhere else, there was not medical treatment there at the time, I would have died. So I had the surgery. The surgery was a success. I'm now back running. I've just come in tonight from work. I've just run 10Ks in 49 minutes. So I'm back there. He said, unless I'm stupid, I won't ever have a problem. So watch the binge drinking. So I'm only down to the 20 pints a night now.
That's good to hear, mate. That's good to hear. It's absolutely fantastic.
What I decided to do, Rob, I said to Lucy, I said, listen, without being morbid or anything like that, you've got to live your life, haven't you? So as long as you're not daft, I'm not like running around like I used to be, trying to break records, doing whatever. I'm actually acting my age now. I'm 54. you know. But I said to Lewis, you've got to live your life. I'm not going to sit here, because if I didn't drink and I didn't play football, I'd be a miserable bastard. That's as simple as it is.
Listen, on that note, fantastic talking to you as always. Love to Lucy, and I look forward to seeing you soon, pal. Yeah. All the best to you.
Thanks, Rob. Love to the family and the kids, and I'll see you soon, pal.
Take care, Carl. All the best, mate. Cheers.
Bye. Bye-bye.